Welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape, United Methodist Communications and UMC.org's podcast to help keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joe Iovino. In this month's episode, I'm talking with Adam Weber. He's a United Methodist pastor and the author of a new book about prayer called Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. If you've ever been in that place where you're not sure how to pray, you will enjoy this conversation. I'm on the phone today with the Reverend Adam Weber, the lead pastor of Embrace Church, a multi-site United Methodist congregation in and around Sioux Falls, South Dakota, that is one of the fastest growing congregations in the United States. Welcome, Adam.
Oh, it's so good to be on with you. Thrilled and honored.
It's great to have you with us today. You recently wrote a book that's called Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. What encouraged you to write about prayer?
Yeah, well, first off, the idea of writing a book was something that I wasn't wanting to do. It wasn't a dream of mine, and had a friend that just would not stop leaving. He wouldn't leave me alone, basically, until I finally said yes to writing. The idea of prayer, though, has been something that has shaped my life for years now. The very first time I went to youth group as a high schooler, my family, we grew up Lutheran and ended up checking out a Methodist church. And the very first time at the youth group at this Methodist church, the pastor was talking about prayer. And the way he explained prayer was different than anything I had ever heard before, and really explained the conversational approach to speaking with the Lord. And it changed my life. For me, before that, I kind of just had the idea of reciting words and just kind of making your way through it and checking a box instead of speaking with the Lord. And so since that point, it really changed me. And even now, I'm 35 years old and pastoring a church. I'm so grateful that when I'm broken, I can ask for God to heal my life. When I'm restless, when I'm empty, I can ask for His peace and His wholeness. Mm. And also on the flip side, when I'm so thankful for something, that I can just say a simple word of thanks. And so prayer, I'm so needy for prayer in my life. And my hope with the book is, if there's one person who's struggling with prayer, is maybe just overwhelmed and doesn't know where to start and kind of feels foolish, or maybe has been following the Lord for years but has gotten stuck in a rut, I pray just kind of encourage people to talk with the Lord for the first time, or maybe in a fresh way.
Do you find this is a pretty common thing that people want to pray, know we're supposed to pray, but really ask how?
Yeah, I think there's something inside of us as human beings that moves us to pray. I always joke around, but when you're taking off in an airplane, it's always interesting how all of a sudden everybody's relationship with Jesus comes to a really good place. It's like, I just hope this pilot knows what he's doing.
Right.
But even more so, it was kind of funny. I've really been trying to minister to our mailman lately. He's just a younger guy, really a guy that I just could see myself being friends with. And one day he was listening to his headphones, and I said, and he told me that before, that he wasn't a Christian, didn't believe in God, this kind of thing. Well, one day he had his earphones in, so I said, hey, what are you listening to? And he showed me it, and it was actually myself on a podcast being interviewed.
Oh.
And I was shocked, because I hadn't even told him my name, and obviously he knows my name because he sees my mail every day.
Right.
But I didn't know at all. And he's like, it's kind of random, but I'm actually listening to you. And I was like, well, that's crazy. So we didn't talk more about it. Well, 2 weeks later, we crossed paths again on my front porch. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to bring up the interview because I didn't want him to feel pressure to talk about God and whatever.
Sure.
And he said, I finished the rest of that podcast, and that was wonderful. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And he said, again, I don't believe in God, but you talked about prayer and sometimes how you'll just give a word of thanks, mm-hmm. or you'll just pray a simple word of, Lord, I need you.
Yeah.
And he said, since listening, I found myself saying those things and praying lately.
Wow.
And I was just puzzled. I first off, I wanted to say, well, you don't make a very good atheist, but but he just said, it's really been comforting to speak those words, even though I don't really believe in a God of any kind. Hmm. And so I think there's a craving inside of us for something greater, and especially to talk with that being. I would, you know, say God, the God sure. found and, you know, made himself known throughout the Bible. That's what I would say. But there's something in us that kind of craves to speak with the Creator of some kind. And so I think that you'll find that pretty much anywhere, even within my atheist mailman, who's just an incredible fella.
That's great. Well, you talked earlier, you mentioned about going to church as a child, that there was something that you guys just did as a family. I have a friend who said his choice going to church was whether he went to church happy or whether he went to church sad. That was the only choice he really had. It sounds like you had a similar experience, right? It was like you were going to church as a family every Sunday. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. There was no decision of mine in the process. It was, we are going every week. Yep.
How did that shape you?
I look back, and I mean, as far as I can remember back, I struggled with church. I mean, like vocally, like challenging my parents on everything. And I always joke around, if I would have had a serious illness on a Sunday, I would have died, because my parents were so used to me faking illness and death that I would have died, because they would have been like, he's just joking with us.
Just trying to get out of church, so, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the boy who cried wolf every Sunday. But I look back now, and I'm so grateful for the faithfulness of my parents. Mm. And something that I feel like has been lost at some point. I mean, any good parent gets their kid to school, whether the kid wants to go to school that day or not.
Right.
And I think to have that approach of faithfulness, and I think it also is the job of a parent to go to a place where the child hopefully can connect and grows. So it's not just this burden and this horrible thing. And one of the things, honestly, that I've thanked my parents for over and over again was the decision when they began looking for a church home. I had been confirmed. The day I got confirmed, I came home and I told my parents it was the most I'd ever lied into so many people at one time.
Oh, wow.
And my parents were devastated. I can remember my mom crying, don't say that. But that's the point that led them to begin the search. And for them to leave and be open to a Methodist church, that was a huge step outside of my parents' comfort zone.
Sure.
But they just did anything for me to connect with the Lord. And so I'm so grateful for that.
The first section of your book is called The God We Talk With. Can you tell me a little bit about what you mean by that? Who is the God with whom we talk when we pray?
Yeah, well, again, growing up, if you would have asked me to describe Christians, it would not have been a very good review. I would have said boring, miserable, lame, you know, all of the above.
Right.
And I just assume that God must be the same way. You know, just kind of more of a person who's, make sure you check your boxes, get confirmed, baptize as an infant, go to church, don't drive your mother crazy, would have kind of been my four boxes to check. And I, as a new Christian, when I actually began to read the Bible, I was blown away by God, specifically Jesus. Like, just, sure. I mean, the story of the prodigal son was just, I couldn't believe what he's sitting with these sinners and tax collectors, and, you know, the Pharisees are asking him why he's sitting with these people. And he basically begins to explain the heart of God and explains, you know, the lost sheep, lost coin, and lost son. And the story of the prodigal son coming home, and the dad throws an extravagant party. Hmm. And I what I love about that story, this isn't me, this is actually in the Bible. That's what I always tell people. I'm like, no, these are actually in there. the music from the party is so loud that the older brother can hear the music
right.
from the distance. And I always say, that's not a party, that's a partay. You know, like, if you're old and grumpy, that's what you call cops on. Like, you're like, okay, they need to turn their music down. And I'm like, that's God explaining his heart for us when we come home. Why? Because this son of mine was dead and he's come back to life. Mm. He was lost and is now found. And so I just, to explain who God is and the richness of him is a powerful thing, because I think so much of our perceptions, even as Christians, like, yeah, he's probably wants nothing to do with me because I've made too many mistakes.
Right.
It's like, well, that's the opposite of what you see. Well, I need to have my life perfect and figured out. Mm. No, actually, he didn't spend much time with people who thought they were perfect and had it figured out. Like, you know, it's kind of the opposite of what, and so that was really just kind of setting up who is God and who is Jesus, I think, just trying to explain it in a simple form.
Sure. And does our understanding of God affect the way that we pray?
Oh, I think it changes everything.
Hmm.
You know, just even the ability to approach, well, Jesus, you know, Abba Father, and how he talks to God, the Father himself, is a powerful image of like, whoa, okay, I didn't know I could. I mean, Father is such an intimate thing. Mm-hmm. There's only four people who call me Dad.
Right.
If someone else called me Dad, it would be a little interesting. I'd be like, oh, well, I guess you can call me that if you want to. It's a little awkward.
Right.
But, I mean, there's nothing other than my wife, there's nothing more intimate that you could call me than Dad.
Right.
And I just think like, wow. And he's different than our earthly parent, obviously. He's so holy, angels cover their eyes when in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we can approach him and come near him and speak with him.
Mm.
For me, that changes everything. It's that awe and reverence of he is the King of Kings. Like, there's no king that is greater than him that will ever be or has ever been.
Right.
And yet, you know, Jesus, I do not call you servant. Instead, I call you friend.
Hmm.
It's that kind of grace and truth, like, together. It's like, I don't know how that works, but it does. I don't know how he's fully God and fully man, but it happens.
Yeah.
And so that's just so cool to think about approaching that God.
In the next section, you talk about how we pray and your advice, and I hope I'm not giving away too much here, but your advice is keep it short, keep it simple, and keep it honest. Can you talk a little bit more about that? This is stuff you've learned from your kids, right?
Yeah. And I'm always just shocked by how much. We just had our kids sing for kind of a VBS Sunday here. And my prayer with our team and volunteers before we went up, I said, I hope today isn't just a cute thing that we can take pictures of our kids. Instead, I'm praying that our kids would lead us in worship today.
Because
we have so much to learn from our kids about God.
Right.
And so it's not just this cute thing that we do. Instead, it's like, no, they're leading us today. Just as much as me preaching a message, or even more so. And so just learning about prayer, even through my kids, has just been a powerful thing. And more than just them and their take on prayer and just seeing it, it's so true throughout the Word as well. Short, simple, honest. It doesn't have to be short.
Right.
I think growing up, I just thought that it was a better prayer if it was longer.
Sure.
So often you just find yourself kind of adding random words to make it a certain length, to make it a good prayer. And it's like, no, actually, you can keep it really short. And sometimes fewer words are better. I mean, when you're standing in front of like a star-filled night, or you're standing in front of a beautiful ocean, it's almost disrespectful to talk. You know, it's like,
yeah.
We just be quiet for a second and take in like the beauty of the stars. Like, sometimes the greatest response in front of that, like as an act of worship to God, is just, wow. Like, wow. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so that's short. And the simple part is, it's exactly Jesus, actually, in the Sermon on the Mount, is basically like challenging them, like, don't pray to be heard by others who kind of sound off these extravagant prayers and street corners to be heard. And so he's like, he's going against like, you don't need to polish up all your words. The only time I polish my words is when I'm really trying to impress someone I don't know.
Mm.
I'm like, gosh, I just want to make sure I say the right thing.
Yeah.
This is a job interview and I need to say the right words so I can get this job, or gosh, I want them to like me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm with someone that I know and I trust and I love, I'm able to freely speak from my heart of just like, man, I don't know how to explain this, but I trust you so much, I'm going to verbally process in front of you.
Wow.
And so it's so simple, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the honest part is the Psalms, which is probably one of our greatest teachers of how to pray, for myself at least. You just see this rawness before the Lord. I mean, David, at times you're like, as a friend of David, you just want to say, like, maybe you shouldn't say what you just said to God. You know, like, you might want to edit your words a little bit more. Like, right. You know, but it's just that honesty. And one of the biggest hindrances I've found in our relationship with God is the lack of honesty with Him. And even in myself, one of the biggest breakthroughs, my dad has had a health condition in the last 7 years that has been severe pain and has totally altered his life. I mean, went from being very healthy and physically fit to he actually just had a procedure this past week, so he's found a little bit of freedom from the pain. But, I mean, most days he's in bed all but a few hours. Early on, you know, I'd pray for my dad, but I wasn't really honest about how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And I could tell, it was almost like when you have a close friend and there's an elephant that shows up in your relationship with him or her. Sure. All of a sudden, you don't address like this. Maybe they said something that hurt you, and it just grows and grows and grows, and you find yourself kind of distance yourself from him, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, that's how I felt with God. Like, it was just like this. I was starting to feel bitter, and like just like, I don't know, I've prayed faithfully for my dad and nothing has changed, and it was just really beginning to affect me. Well, one day when I was driving, out of nowhere, it just came out. I mean, I was driving late one night, and I finally just said what I had been feeling. Mm. At the top of my lungs, literally yelled out, "I want you to heal my dad, and I don't know why you haven't." And just the core, I mean, and it was almost like God responded with, "Well, finally, you're saying something. Like, I can tell you're hurting. Yeah. Like, I can tell this has been bothering you. Finally, you're saying something to me. You're bringing something to me." And it ended up being just this huge change as far as, like, gosh, I didn't realize how much I was harboring inside me. And it ended up being a huge time of breakthrough of going to a deeper place of really trusting him. So I think that's – when I look at kids, they do those three things really well, short, simple, and honest, especially the honest part.
Yeah.
So, brutally honest. So.
Well, I don't want to dwell on this for too long, but one of the things that you mentioned there is that your dad is still the desired outcome hasn't come.
Yeah.
But you felt this change in your relationship with God anyway. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, I think it was just getting my feelings out, and really acknowledging, here is my request, God. And here are some feelings, too, that I know aren't right, but I'm angry at you. And I don't know why. I don't know why this is happening and why this isn't. So I think that was just like almost transparency. It's almost like if you had a secret with your spouse and you didn't share it.
Right.
You know, like it just breaks the level of intimacy of like, wow, there's this huge thing that I'm holding back that I've not told you about.
Right.
As far as like with him not being healed, it's getting to the place, a perfect example that I just can't fathom. This is just on a different, my comprehension to my kids' comprehension is fairly vast.
Sure.
Especially with my 2-year-old. I mean, he can't say the ABCs even. And I mean, I just think like infinitely, in Isaiah, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My thoughts are greater, you know, there's just greater and higher.
Right.
Well, a few years back, it was actually my oldest was a baby at the time. My oldest is now 10, but he got sick and couldn't keep fluids down. And so finally they had to do an IV in him. And I'll never forget holding him down. And they struggled to get an IV in his little kind of chubby baby arms, and especially he was dehydrated, so his vessels were even harder to get in. So for 40 minutes, they tried to get it in and finally got it. And as I was holding him down, the look on his face, and he was, you know, screaming for 40 minutes, but the look on his face was, I thought you loved me. Like, I thought you loved me. And how dare you let this happen and allow this to take place? You know, because I wasn't the one doing the IV. I was just pinning them to the table.
Right.
And, like, again, like, it was like, no, I'm using this for good. Like, you, this is for your benefit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, like, you go into the, does God cause things and whatever?
Sure.
All I know is that God is faithful.
Yeah.
And, again, his ways are so much higher than my ways. And also, mm-hmm. just even John 15, I just shared that with a congregation here 2 weeks ago, and it talks about pruning.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to the guy who works with vines, and he talked about the process of pruning. He says sometimes you'll prune the vine, and it'll almost look like you've killed it.
Mm.
But it's for the good of the vine itself, and it's good for the good of the branches. And so there's something in there, like I'm like, God, I don't understand it all, but I do know that you are good and you're faithful. And your plan is so much greater than mine. And so in the midst of not knowing, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's so crazy. In the Psalms, though, we're also told, like, David just talks about, like, when I cried out, you heard my voice.
Yes.
Jesus, ask and you will receive. So it's like, okay, God, I don't understand how that all works. But Jesus, you said to ask, and so I'm going to keep asking.
Mm-hmm.
And David, you said that when I cry, you cry out, and I cry out, you hear a voice. And so I'm going to keep on speaking on these things that are hard. And so,
sure.
Yeah.
And
whole lot. There's a whole lot I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, there was one thing, what I think I hear you saying a little bit is that when you were keeping that from God, kind of in the dishonest prayer, you also lost that intimacy with God. So it was this kind of doubly difficult that you were no longer leaning on God the way you would like to. That's a terrible way to phrase that, but
no, you said it perfectly, actually.
Okay.
I think that's 100% true. Because even during that season, and we so often do this,
mm-hmm.
we say, God, I'm so thankful for your peace when we don't have any.
Right.
And I love you. I'm so happy with what you're doing. When it's like, no, actually, we're angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's called lying.
Yeah.
Like, I heard we're not supposed to do that with other people, particularly God.
Yeah.
And but it does, like what you said, you summed it up perfectly. And I think there's something of just being honest with God, even when those things that are hard to say, like, Lord, I don't understand why you haven't killed my dad.
Yeah.
Or for a person who's single who wants to be married, I don't know why all my friends have found their spouse and I haven't.
Yeah.
I've faithfully been following you, God, and I don't know why you haven't provided this desire in my heart. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why this is taking place. But again, I just go back to God's track record in my life is imperfectly perfect.
Mm.
He's been so faithful. And so, and I know the older I get, the less I know. I'm always puzzled by one of the things that points me to God oftentimes is, as humans, just how confident we are in being so all-knowing. It's like, I'm like, I don't know how we still have any world problems and anybody who's starving to death and anybody who's struggling in their life whatsoever, because everybody's a genius on Facebook.
Right.
I'm like, how do we have any world problems? Everything should be perfect.
Yep.
And where I'm on the opposite end, I'm like, the older I get, the more like a little kid I become.
Yeah.
I'm like a 2-year-old in the parking lot of Walmart without the Lord in my life.
Hmm.
I am needy for Jesus and his direction, because I don't know up from down. My path, every time I take it, it leads me into more brokenness and pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, God, I'm just going to stay really close to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and somehow that prayer, it builds that relationship. Those honest prayers build that relationship with God so that you can be comfortable in the not knowing, because God's got it.
Yes. Yes. And it's not a blind, like,
right.
I don't struggle with anything. I don't worry about stuff anymore. It's more kind of that constant, like, hey, God, I'm worrying about this again, and I just need to hand over control to you.
Mm.
Or I'm trying to do things my way, and it's just not working. And so, Lord, I'm sorry. Like, I'm going to follow you again.
Yeah.
So it's really more of that just kind of constant conversation and connection with him.
Oh, how true is that? Yeah. Yeah, I want to, towards the end of the book, you talk about the difference, and I thought this was just really important. You talk about the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Oh, and I think this is true wherever we are. Like, it's easy to learn a lot of things about God but not actually know him.
Mm-hmm.
In that chapter, I talked about, so I filled in for a pastor up in North Dakota, and that summer everybody in the church was trying to hook me up with the pastor I was filling in for, his daughter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so she was in France for the first half of summer. So I would go visit ladies and pray for their breast cancer. And at the end, they would start telling me about this Becky Spar. And I was being told so much about her that it almost felt like I was starting to know her.
Sure.
Like, it was kind of weird, because everybody, including Becky's mom, was saying, and she's like this, and you'll like this about her. But I didn't know her at all. I'm like, I was a total stranger. So when she got back, we actually ended up going on a walk together, and I found it was so weird, because I'm like, I know so much about you, and yet I don't know anything about you. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think the same is true so often with God. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between an educated Christian and a deep Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and knowing, like, on a knowledge level about God is so important. I mean, it's huge. God gave us a brain and a mind to think about him and things of life. But I think so often we study so much about God from a distance.
Yeah.
When the first and greatest command is to love him. And so, and loving someone, particularly a God, is a heart thing. I mean, it's something from the depth of our soul, and we're even told with all your heart and soul and might and strength, you know?
Yeah.
And with prayer, I think that's so important, of just, okay, I've read my Bible, and I know a lot about you, but it's through actually being with you and acknowledging you and walking with you that I actually come to know you.
Mm.
And Paul in Philippians, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection. And I just think about, wow, I want to know Christ. Like, just that longing inside of Paul to know Christ on an even deeper, more intimate level.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful, beautiful thing to think about when it comes to prayer. Of, Lord, I just want to know you. Like, I know that you are faithful, but would you show me, what Paul, what David means when he says you're faithful from one generation to the next?
Mm.
I know that you are a loving God, but like again, like in the Psalms, would you just show me a glimpse of what it means that your love endures forever? Forever is a long time.
Yeah.
And just coming to know those things on a deeper level is beautiful.
Mm. Well, the last question that I ask everybody who's a guest on Get Your Spirit in Shape is to recommend a practice that we could try out, something that's meaningful to you. But because we've been talking about prayer this entire episode, I want to ask it of you a little bit differently. So
yeah.
What advice would you give someone who wanted to improve their prayer life right now? Like, what can I do today before I can get your book or whatever to get to know God better and become a better communicator with God?
Oh, there's so many things. I'll give two specific things.
Great.
I'm such a go-getter. When I get to my office, I immediately go into work mode. And something that's been really helpful for me, especially in seasons where I feel like I'm running on empty, mm-hmm. or just exhausted. So whether you're a teacher, a banker, a mechanic, a stay-at-home parent, maybe the first thing that you do when you get to work, and maybe, again, if you stay at home, maybe it's just in your bedroom or as you're brushing your teeth, for me, I need the actual physical act of getting on my knees, which is not, I didn't grow up praying on my knees. So it's kind of an awkward thing, but there's been something really powerful in those seasons of, so I get to my office, oftentimes I'll kneel at one of my chairs, and it's really a physical way of telling my soul, like, I'm surrendered to you, Lord.
Yeah.
And this day ahead, I'm already overwhelmed and anxious about all the things I needed to get done, but God, I surrender my plan and my schedule and my agenda for yours today. And I surrender what I think is important to what you think is important.
Hmm.
And so what I think is important is checking things off my list, but what you think is important might be a random stranger or maybe a coworker of mine who just needs someone to listen to him.
Right.
And so that's been really, again, I'm so restless and I'm such a go-getter,
yeah,
that to pause is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing for me that's been really, really helpful is just going on walks. Mm-hmm. So I go on a walk most nights, and as I'm walking, you know, it's kind of sporadic. It's not like all this intense prayer time. But oftentimes if something comes to mind that I'm thankful for, I'll just take some time to thank God for my family or for the one cup of coffee I had with someone and how delightful it was. And then on the other side, if there's things I'm worried about or consumed about, or even as I'm walking down the street, just praying for the people that I'm walking by and just that they'd sense God at work in their lives. And so those would be my two things.
Wonderful.
Just spending time on your knees, maybe at the start of a morning, just for even a minute, just giving the day over to God. And then at the end of a day, just on my walk, it's always such a life-giving time of just handing things over.
Thank you, Adam. This has been a great conversation. I really appreciate it. There's so much more we could do, but we keep these to 30 minutes. So thank you very much. Thanks for the conversation today.
Oh, thank you so much for the work you do and just the people you're pouring into that you've never met. It's wonderful.
That was the Reverend Adam Weber, a United Methodist pastor and the author of a new book titled Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. I want to add a postscript to one of the stories Adam told. Remember Becky, the young woman everyone was telling him about before he ever got to meet her? Well, today, Adam and Becky are husband and wife, and the parents of four children. It's a great story you can read more about in his book, Talking with God. For a link to buy the book or to learn more about Adam, go to umc.org/podcasts and look for Get Your Spirit in Shape, Episode 19. We also put on that page some links to other stories and videos about prayer you also might enjoy. On the same page, there's a link to my email address. I love hearing about what Get Your Spirit in Shape means to you, and any suggestions you have for future topics and conversations. Well, that's it for this episode. We'll be back soon with more tips to help keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. Thanks for listening. I'm Joe Iovino. Peace.